Everybody, welcome to episode 321 of the Ain't Any Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it is brought to you by our good friends at Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. At Legacy Realty, we combine the best of both worlds, the local expertise of over 75 agents in the Ankeny Metro, with the innovative power of LPT Realty, one of the fastest growing nationwide brokerages. Our agents have the flexibility to tailor their services to meet your needs, and they are equipped with advanced marketing strategies to help you achieve your goals. Looking to buy or sell? Our local agents know the Ankeny market like inside and out, and they're here to guide you through every step of the process. Whether you're moving across town or across the country, we have the resources to help you succeed. Legacy Realty of Iowa, local expertise, national strength, your real estate advantage. All right, we're going to talk a lot of football tonight. In a little while, I'll be interviewing an assistant coach for both Dowling Catholic and Ankeny Centennial to preview their big game on Friday night at Valley Stadium. But right now, we're going to break down Friday's big game between Ankeny and Valley at Ankeny Stadium with one of the Hawks' assistant coaches. My first guest is in his first season as the team's offensive coordinator, and he has helped the Hawks to a 5-2 record and a number 5 ranking in Class 5A in the latest RPI rankings from the IHSAA. He is Rob Luther. Coach, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Absolutely. Doing great. Just getting out of breakfast and getting ready for Friday. So it's good.
Well, hey, before we dive into Friday's matchup, I want to talk about your background a little bit for people who aren't familiar with you. You've been a football coach for about 35 years, and you were the longtime head coach at both CMB and Baxter before joining the staff at Ankeny. Now, I know you were already retiring as the principal at Baxter, and you just felt like it was time to give up the football job. And I guess it was your previous connection to Coach Bauer that led to you getting the opportunity here, huh?
It did. It's kind of fate, kind of how it all works out. So I retired from the principal gig and just kind of was not sure what I wanted to do. And I've known Jeff for a long time. So our wives taught at Southeast together, lived in Ankeny, played golf with Jeff. So I've known Jeff. I was subbing in Ankeny one day, and just how it happens. And he texted me and he said, "I heard you're in the building. Can you stop down?" I said, "Sure." We chat a little bit. And he said, "I just got an offensive coordinator job open this week. Any interest?" And I said, "Well, maybe." So then that started the ball rolling. And that's just kind of how one thing led to another. And it was, I kind of dug into the position. And so this is a great opportunity. I'm ready to get back into 11 man and getting ready to, you know, this is one of the top programs in the state. Absolutely. Let's roll up our sleeves and go work.
Well, yeah, I know you spent the last 8 seasons coaching the 8-man game at Baxter. So was it a little bit of an adjustment for you coming back to the 11 man game, or was it kind of like, you know, riding a bike where, you know, something you've done your whole life, so you just kind of get right into it?
Yeah, I think it was, I was the head coach in the Shrine game with Ryan Pizzetti a couple years ago. And that was a little bit of an adjustment because I had 1 week, but no one, you know, we adjusted the 8-man game from our 11-man offense, so it was probably harder to go 11-8 than it was. Got coached the 11 for 20-plus years, so, but we still just wanted to it was still just a little bit after 6-7 years in 8-man to make sure, you know, here's the offense, here's the playbook, here's what we want to do.
Were you enjoying this new role? You know, do you like not having to deal with some of the headaches that you have to put up with as a head coach?
It's crazy. I just was saying that to a couple of our assistants today, that senior night this week. So as a head coach, there's a million things and bios and order and dealing with, I mean, it has been so nice just to be able to coach football, build relationships with kids, worry about one side of the football. I know what Jeff's going through from day to day, and it's one thing after another, and that's one thing I sure do not miss.
Well, you're already a resident of Ankeny, so I imagine you already knew a little bit about the Ankeny program. Did you know how much offensive talent you'd be working with this fall, though, when you came here?
Well, it's funny. I dug in a little bit before we started, and I knew they returned a lot of kids. And I was in the weight room, and as Jeff was interviewing me and talking to kids and stuff. And, I knew we had some kids. That's for sure. I think what shocked me the most was what quality kids we have. It's not, I mean, they're really talented and they're really good at football, but that's probably secondary, just the quality character we have of those kids. And that's what sold me maybe getting going, and then nothing's disappointed. But yeah, it's been really fun working with the Daniel Marmies, Kill Rashes, and your brain horse in the world that are very talented.
We always talk about some of those guys. Alarmy, of course, is widely regarded as one of the state's top running backs. He's rushed for 1,079 yards and 10 touchdowns, and he really carried a heavy load in the first half of the season. He had more than 30 carries in 4 of the first 5 games. You know, what can you say about his performance this season and how durable he is?
Yeah, you know, the best thing is about Daniel, football rank about 3rd or 4th. He's such a quality. He's a hard worker. He's fun to be around. He's a leader. All those things before you get the ball in his belly and let him do some of the things he can do. In the spring, just watching him out there, he's crazy talented. But he's such a great kid. And we did ride him early. I mean, we kind of didn't think we were going to put the ball in his hands 40 times against Northwest and Waukee. that you just can't ride a guy like that. So we had to readjust after that. Hopefully he's fresh now, but he handled that like a pro. I mean, he just kept grinding and kept going. And, you know, we lined it up and gave it to him. It was pretty easy. That's why I said after those first couple games, there wasn't a lot of offensive coordinator to it. It's like, we got big guys up front. We're getting pushed. Let's give it to zero and let him work.
Well, I know from talking to him over the years that he'll take every chance he can to run the ball.
He does. When we kind of put a pitch count on him after the first 2 weeks, and Coach Bauer, and I'm so blessed that he gave me the opportunity. He was like, Rob, we're hoping it's a 12, 13 game season. Let's see what we're in. You know, we need to get Kale Roush going a little bit in the pass game. But yeah, he even in practice, it's always, I can get one more. He never wants to come out. We have to, you know, fortunately put a two in behind him, and then he's frustrated he didn't get that play. He wants to go. He's ready to carry as many times as he needs to. He joked with me tonight why we haven't lined him up out wide and let him have a choice route and let him go deep. I can do that too, Coach. He has a lot of confidence, but he's also really good.
Well, I know Coach Bauer came into the season feeling confident that our quarterback, Kale Roush, was really going to have a big year. He's passed for 949 yards and 11 scores while completing 61% of his passes. You know, have you been pleased with his development?
Kale is such a coachable kid. Soon as we start meeting, working the playbook, he's just a sponge. You know, anytime you step, that's a big role. I mean, a 5A quarterback and what we throw at him. And, you know, we've tried to slow roll a little bit, but now, you know, now the time is to grow up a little bit and make plays. He's going to have to make plays for us to go where we want to go. We've seen glimpses. I thought his first half last week was phenomenal. We played an Ames team who struggled a little bit, but he put the ball right where he needed to all night long. He's playing with a lot of confidence. He's starting to run the ball pretty well for us. So if we can get quarterback run game going and be a little versatile that way. But again, as I say about every kid, he's just such a quality young man and a leader. And I think his best football is still to come. We're sure hoping it is in the next few weeks.
Yeah, Kale has a talented group of receivers to throw to as well. Andrew Brandhorst has been his favorite target most of the year. He's racked up 38 catches for 415 yards and 7 touchdowns, and he's just committed to Northern State. You know, he's really a tough guy to defend with single coverage, isn't he?
He really is. He's a great route runner. He has unbelievable ball skills. He works hard at his craft, and he's such an unselfish guy. He's the guy that has come to me in the last few weeks and trying to find out other ways to get Fisher the ball and Lando and Carlson. We have an unbelievable talented group of receivers. But Kale and AB click. They've thrown it to each other, you know, pitch and catch forever. And he steps in. It's easy to, when we need one, to feel like he's going to go make a play. So, but he's the leader of that wide receiver group. And, I mean, what a gifted kid. He has great ball skills.
Well, in that win last week in Ames, you guys did get a huge game from another receiver, Owen Fisher. He had 6 catches for 72 yards and 2 touchdowns, and he also threw a 15-yard scoring pass to Kale on a trick play. Now, did you guys make a concerted effort to get the ball to somebody other than Andrew, just to take some of the pressure off of him?
Yeah, we did. I mean, because I think those other receivers, Carlson, Lando, and we've got a good group of sophomores. But Fisher was one who played a lot last year, got some balls last year, probably the third option in that offense last year. And he's got some shape to him, and we had to find ways to, and we got to continue to find ways. He can be electric. He's got some really good skills out in space as well. So Jeff and I talked that week and said, let's really try to get the ball in some of these other kids' hands, and he was the first one. And, you know, we've had an opportunity a couple other big games. He drew a couple pass interferences at key time. He had a big touchdown call back, and just the dominoes haven't fell right for Fish, but it was really good to see him go off Friday night, and I think he may have another big game Friday.
Well, now your team faces a huge challenge on Friday with number 3 Valley coming to Ankeny. The Tigers are 6-1 on the season, and they've won 5 straight games since suffering their only loss, 27-24 to Waukee Northwest, which, of course, is the number 1 team now in 5A. And I don't know how much stock you can put into comparing scores, but on paper, this looks like a really even matchup. You guys lost to Northwest in the season opener by almost the same score the Valley did the next week. You guys beat Centennial by 14, Valley beat them by 17. You guys beat Waukee by 13, Valley beat them by 11. So are you expecting a close game?
Yeah, we had the opportunity to scrimmage them the week before the season started over at Valley, and I've known their staff and coaches, and said, I mean, they're unbelievably coaches, crazy well, and they've got so much talent. I felt leaving that day 8 weeks ago that we were pretty even. I mean, they made some plays on us, we made some plays on them, but I knew a lot could change. But boy, really dialing in on them this week, there's a lot of similarities between us. I think both defenses are really, really strong. It's going to be being patient. Whoever's going to be able to run it consistently well Friday will sure help that. Then whoever quarterback can go, you know, find Brandhorst and hopefully not McGregory or one of their guys outside. we just gotta be patient. But we're hoping we can be in it. We hope it's gonna be a great game for everybody to see. But we, you know, we've played some tight ones out, you know, that last play of the game against Northwest, and then, you know, tough end of game Johnson. But that's 5 a.m. morning. That's what we're in every week. You better roll up your sleeves every week. You better be prepared. Probably another one Friday night.
Well, yeah, Valley has allowed just one touchdown in the last 3 games, and that came in the win over Centennial 2 weeks ago. They've also had a couple of shutouts during that stretch. What does you impress me the most about their defense?
Well, I think they're really well coached. What they do, they're physical up front. They've got a couple guys at corner that can really lock you down. They want to funnel back into their linebacking core. They're good up front. We think that will probably be the telltale in the first 10 or 15 plays each way, who can really control that line of scrimmage. McGregory is, you know, he's a Division I kid. Jaden is on the back end, and we got to know where he's at. They mix coverages up. But, yeah, I mean, there's some teams that have had some. Waukee had some success in some things they did, and, you know, actually moved the ball pretty well. So just looking at film, I think we got to be who we are. But, boy, when we get an opportunity, we talk red zone tonight, and we get to the red zone, we got to finish drives. We can't stub our toe because you don't know how many opportunities you're going to get.
Now, I know the past Valley has tended to be a team that played a lot of base defense, and they didn't do a lot of blitzing, you know, because they've always had such a strong defense. They just tried to out-execute you. Is that kind of what they are this year?
Yeah, they don't bring a ton of pressure. They'll move the D-line a little bit and play some games up front. But, yeah, they want their linebackers. They want to keep our lining off them, and they're going to try to occupy space with those D-linemen. All three linebackers are pretty talented. The kid in the middle, eight, is athletic, and he gets to where he needs to be. And it's like any team. I think when they struggle, you know, they're going to be patient defensively. I think they're okay giving up 4 and 5 and a few first downs. In fact, when you get into the high red, low red of the 25-30, then all of a sudden maybe some man brings some pressure down. But it'll be a little bit of a chess game, I think. But these teams have known each other forever. They were 13-10 last year, I think, and just great games. So I don't see anything changing. You know, Coach Bauer is going to believe in what he believes. Coach Johnson believes in what he believes. Now it's really, I've always said, players not plays. It's who's going to go make those 7 or 8 different plays tomorrow or Friday night.
Well, I'm assuming you guys want to have a balanced attack on Friday. I mean, that's probably going to be the key to have some success against them, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Kale's really started to throw the ball. We have to be balanced, but you also look back to some of our big games. I mean, Larmy had a big game against Northwest. And since, I mean, he's going to have to, you know, we're going to have to do some things there. But Kale's got to be efficient. I mean, Brandbrooks and Fisher have to be involved. We can't run it on first and second and think we're just throwing it on third down against McGregor and those dudes on the back end. So, yeah, balance will be huge. But, you know, ball control in the games, we've been real successful. That time of possession has been in our direction. We've kept our defense off the field. They probably won't say the same thing. But, yeah, we got to be balanced and hope Roush can go make some plays.
Well, I know you don't coach the defense, but I just wanted to get a couple quick thoughts from you on the challenges that your defense will face on Friday. Of course, Valley have a very good dual threat quarterback in Drake DeGroote, and they have a couple of those really good receivers. I mean, your defensive staff is probably working overtime this weekend.
Well, I didn't want to hear it. I bumped into him on Sunday and had some conversation on pregame meal. We always kind of talk about how we think it's going to play out. I said, last year's 13-10. You know, I think it may be the first one to 21. I mean, our defense is really good. They're real aggressive. They are very multiple, which I think could cause their quarterback a little bit of problems. But again, they want to run the football. So if they're going to run the football, then it becomes we're okay a little bit, just like their defense. But when we get in that red zone, and who's going to make, you know, what's their down conversions? I know our defense has talked about that, or big fourth down stops. I love our defense. I mean, every day we line up against them, and I think it's one of the best in 5A, just what they do and how well they're coached. So say the same thing, Valley. It'll be a really fun match on Friday. I feel this could be really fun.
Well, your team is certainly sitting in good position to make the playoffs, with just 2 games left. After Friday's game, you guys will close out the regular season on October 24th with a road trip to 4-3 Council Bluffs Lincoln, which is currently 18th in the RPI rankings, and they might be playing for their playoff lives next week. You know, do you guys as a coaching staff kind of feel like right now, you know, you're just playing for the highest possible seed?
I think so. There's some guys in the office that are definitely, you know, the RPI is new to me. We just play district football. You know where you landed in the district, and that's kind of how it played out. You know, I'm learning about the RPI, but I'm also, I don't look at film until that game's about until Saturday. So the RPI is the RPI. I'm sure if we can find a way to beat Valley, our seed is going to increase, which on its home field. But again, what I, you know, it's crazy to think we're two plays away from being undefeated, probably number one in the state. You know, they, Northwest gets a 2-point conversion and Johnson scores it back after we take the lead, but that's 5A. I mean, Valley could say the same thing. There's probably 6, 7, 8 teams that on a given Friday night are going to be able to win. So, you know, it is matchups. I know teams that I think we match up better against, but we can't really control it. All we do is play well Friday, hope we get a win, whatever the seed is, and we just, you know, grind it out and try to get better.
Well, yeah, I would think if you guys went out, you know, you'd probably move up into that top four, which would give you the potential for two home playoff games to get to the Dome, and that'd be the best case scenario, wouldn't it?
100%. I mean, depends who you talk to. I've heard maybe up to 3 and could still be 5, but to me, let's win. Let's beat a really good football team in Ankeny. Let's show up. Let's take care of football. Let's be efficient offensively, because, yeah, of course you want to be home at this time of year. You know, you don't want to get on a bus and have to go to somebody else's place. But that's the nature, you know, of what Polk's done in the past. They were open at 5-4 and, you know, run the table. That there's some teams out there that have that potential. I mean, heck, we're sitting up north. That team's pretty good. They would be a dangerous out. Anybody can get in and feel like they got a shot now. So, yeah, home field's great. Right now it's just Valley Tigers, and you know it's two really good football teams. And then we'll let the RPI. But yeah, I mean, I'm not looking at the Council Bluffs, but yeah.
All right. Well, it should be a great game on Friday. I'm looking forward to it. I'll be there. Well, good luck on Friday. I'll see you there.
Thanks, man.
You bet.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Hey, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Real Lady of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. Revive opened in 2017 and is located on the south side of Ankeny near Hy-Vee. They provide top-tier aesthetic procedures as well as dermatology. You can usually get a dermatology appointment the same day. Revive offers Botox, fillers, lasers, medical-grade skincare, weight loss injections, and cool sculpting. Revive loves Ankeny, is very supportive of this community. You can give them a call, 515-965-5677. All right, well, my next guest is an Ankeny native who was named to Ankeny Fanatics all-time Ankeny football team in 2023, and he was a longtime assistant coach, both Ankeny and Ankeny Centennial, who is now in his third season as an assistant at Dowling Catholic, where he coaches the Maroons defensive line. He has helped Dowling to a 6-1 record and a number 2 ranking in the latest RPI rankings. He is Mike Fontana. Coach, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Thanks for calling me.
Hey, you bet. Your team's now won 6 straight games since opening the season with a 20-19 loss to Valley. As you look back at that game against the Tigers, you know, was that a game you could have gone either way, or did it just take a little time for you guys to figure some things out?
Well, it was a tough opener when that schedule came out. I was like, wow, we went out. That's my last team to play the Dome. And, you know, we had some returning starters. We had some new faces. So I felt it took them a quarter, maybe a half, to get adjusted, get acclimated. But then the game started going back and forth, and then we had some costly 3-and-outs and a couple turnovers in the second half that we should have liked to have back. We lost by a point, and I think it's a game we can have another shot at here down the road in a few weeks.
Well, since that loss, you guys have really been dominant. You've won the last 6 games by an average of 29.5 points. And you've beat some really good teams during that stretch, including number 7 Johnston, number 10 DCG, and number 11 Southeast Polk, of course, the 4-time defending champs. You have to be really happy with the way, you know, this team has developed.
Yeah. Our defense has really stood up strong. You know, that Johnston game was really big. We really got Johnston. I think they might have had a new yard rushing. And, you know, that was probably the week after that Valley game. And our guys were a little hungry. You could tell they were overly anxious. And they kind of thought they might have let the Valley game get away from them. And I thought that showed them that Chelsea game. We were cooking that night.
Well, now you guys will host a 4-3 Ankeny Centennial team that is ranked 12th on Friday. You're obviously very familiar with the Jaguars program. What has impressed you about their offense from what you've seen on film?
Well, they got big playmakers like they always do. They got a good tailback, J.D. Morgan, and he's really productive and shifty. He runs the ball hard. And they got a receiver, Cameron Williams. He can go up and get it. He can also run by you. He's a tall target. You have to be aware of him. I think the guy expects his stuff from his tight end, Katie Newman. He's been getting some college looks. He's got a big frame. I think he's only caught a few passes, but they're crucial passes. He's got good hands. He's a good blocker. So I know their offensive line is new, but they made the best of what they have and moved some kids around so you get a productive offensive line out there. So it's like every time you play Centennial or you play any type of teams from Ankeny, you're going to have a battle.
We have the key guy that you mentioned, J.J. Morgan, has roughed for 907 yards and 13 touchdowns, and he's averaging nearly 11 yards per carry. Last week, we went over Indianola. He had over 200 all-purpose yards, and he scored three touchdowns, two of them on passing plays. Now, he's been held to about 100 yards per game on the ground in the Jaguars' three losses. So, obviously, he's a guy that you want to contain, but, you know, it's easier said than done, isn't it?
Yeah, he should be tough. You know, he was kind of in the wings, the shadows of Jackson. And maybe Elijah Porter, but JJ's been around a while. I remember watching him as an eighth grader and a freshman, and knew he'd be something to be dealing with down the road.
Well, Centennial started the season with some uncertainty at quarterback, but sophomore Brecken Miller has taken over the job and is developing into a playmaker. He's passed for 783 yards and 11 touchdowns, and he's coming off a 3-TD performance against Indianola. You know, does he look like a different quarterback now than he did in the first couple of games?
Yeah, Brecken's an extremely, extremely good athlete. Finished with a good athletic family, and there's a lot of kids watching him. You're like, this thing could be the biggest in the worst of times position. And I'm afraid to start running the ball a little more, maybe. Right now, they kind of hand it off and passes it. But he's a good athlete. He's a smart quarterback. He knows what to do with the ball, the right times, how to get rid of it. He'll throw any interceptions. If they can protect him, he can be effective.
Well, the Jaguars are only completing about 7.5 passes a game, but when they do complete one, it's usually for a big gain. Miller's averaging more than 15 yards of completion, and he more than doubled that figure in last week's game against Indianola when he had just 5 completions, but they went for a total of 158 yards. You mentioned Cameron Miners. He had 2 catches for 79 yards and a touchdown, and on the season, he's averaging nearly 34 yards a catch on his 12 receptions, and he scored 5 touchdowns. You know, so they've really been a big play offense, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. And they said, had a, you know, record quarterback, J.J. Miners, along with Keaton Newman. They know if they can get their line protected, they can be succeeded with.
Well, yeah, Centennial's clearly like to throw some deep balls to Miners, so I'm sure, you know, one of the goals for your defense is to put some pressure on Miller and not give him the time that he would need to make some deep throws. You know, let's talk a little bit about your defense and what we can expect from them. Your leading tackler is junior linebacker Carlos Blount Jr. The former Jaguars racked 37.5 tackles. He's also caused a fumble and recovered one. You know, has he kind of become a leader for your defensive unit?
He is our defensive leader. He's our defensive quarterback. And I really didn't see a high school kid as much as him study the game and be aware of what's going on, what the other team is doing, the amount of film he watches. He's always asking questions, always trying to figure out schemes, formations. And he is our leader and quarterback of our defense.
And then you have a couple of defensive backs, Jordan Watson and Jeremiah Roberson, who have each picked off a couple of passes this season. Watson also has one of your team's 5 fumble recoveries. So has this been a pretty opportunistic defense as far as being able to create some turnovers?
Yeah. Both of those scores are pretty good. They're not very tall, but they both can run. They both have sticky coverage, both smart players. They're always in the right place at the right time. Like I said, it's not very tall, but they'll guard you tough and get up on you. Not to pat myself or Coach Perry on the back, but our defensive front's been pretty stout. We got Ryan Bobo, all-state defensive end on one side, and we have Anthony Bonanno on the other side. And I think those two are put together about 12, 13 sacks in a year. So those two come off the edge. You have a good linebacker play if you want. The D-backs, of course. Our defense stood tall at times this year when we had to.
Well, yeah, your team's allowed just 7.5 points per game during your winning streak. You know, what's going to be the key for you guys to have success on Friday against us and Centennial's offense?
You know, even with Centennial's offense, you can't look in the backfield. You have to read your keys, know your role, play your gaps. You cannot look in the backfield with the fakes, the motions. And you cannot take your eye off, you know, receivers like Myers or Newman, let them get vertical on you. It's an offense where you have to know your role, read your keys, and like I said, don't look in the backfield.
On the other side of the ball, your team has really been able to rack up some impressive numbers. Dowling has maybe been known primarily as a ground and pound offense at times in the past, but this year's team has actually passed for more yards than it has rushed for. Your quarterback, Joey Nahas, has already passed for nearly 1,500 yards and 17 touchdowns, and he has a couple of big play receivers to throw to. Sam Drexler was 44 catches, 648 yards, and 7 touchdowns. Jeffrey Roberts has 35 catches, 634 yards, and 9 touchdowns. And I know both of those guys will be taking their talents to the next level. Is this maybe the best offense that you guys have had since you've been there, or at least the most balanced?
No, I'd say the most balanced. You've been two good receivers. Jimmy's a good quarterback. He's an easy quarterback. He's smart. The rotating quarterbacks. But at times, Joey was more effective down the stretch. Jeffrey, Iowa State commit, he's electric. The guy can run the job, catch. Sam, he's a U and I recruit, or U and I commit. Same thing. It's nice to have those 2 feet off each other. And they both are back and punts and kicks, too. So not very often we see a kick right to them.
Right, right.
Spread those guys out, have Middleton in the backfield, and good quarterback in the house. And, I want to mention, too, you have an awesome, awesome offensive tackle, Carter Barrett. He's only a sophomore. He's got 12 Power 4 offers.
That's impressive.
Yeah. Matter of fact, he's going to Alabama with Tennessee Saturday morning.
Oh, wow.
We boast another guard, Evan Mitchell. He's a sophomore as well.
You guys are going to be good for a while.
Yeah. So those names I named and mentioned are those guys all put together have that well-spread, productive offense. Both run in pass.
Well, you mentioned Ian Middleton. He's rushed for 818 yards and 9 touchdowns. And I know he played behind Rashad Davis the last couple of seasons, so he kind of had to wait his turn to become that featured back. But he's done a nice job. How does his running style compare to Davis?
Rashad was more of a juke and jive. Make you miss. Ian, he's a little throwback bulldog. He's 5'9", 5'10". I think he's 225. He's strong as an ox. And he is a load to bring down. And he runs low to the ground and runs with an attitude.
Well, after this game, you guys will close out the regular season on October 24th at 3-4 Marshalltown, and that's a game that you will clearly be favored to win. If you guys can win out, you should be no worse than the number 2 seed behind Waukee Northwest going into the playoffs. And you could move up to the number 1 spot if the Wolves would happen to slip up in one of these last 2 games. You'd have to feel pretty good about, going in as the 2 seed, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think we could be the number 2 seed, but I think some things have to happen for that to happen. If we're 2 and Valley's 3, they're going to jump us because of head-to-head.
And if you guys are 2-3, it probably wouldn't matter.
There's some big games this week. You got Centennial down, you got Johnson Polk, and you have Ankeny Valley. If Valley gets beat by Ankeny, and we do what we should do, we should be the 2-seed. If Valley wins, of course, it's going to put it right back to a 2-3. This week's got a lot of bearing on the playoffs, especially as that top 16 shapes up. So I would say we're for sure 3, maybe 2. But like you said, 2-3. Guess we have to find out who gets the dome then.
Well, it should be a fun rest of the season. I won't wish you good luck this week, but I will wish you good luck the rest of the season. Maybe we'll match up with you in the playoffs too.
Yeah. You have a good group of guys here. And I get Rob before me.
Yep.
Taylor's a good friend of mine. He's a great coach. We kind of had a little pile on the parking lot before we all came in here.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to let you go so we can get on to Tender. But thanks a lot for coming in tonight, Mike.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You bet.
Bye.
All right, listen to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa, the Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. MJ Properties is also a sponsor of the podcast and the title sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic as well. We appreciate their support. Well, my next guest is assistant coach for Ankeny Centennial, who coaches the linebackers. He has helped the Jaguars to a 4-3 record and a number 12 ranking in the latest RPI rankings. He is also the general manager on staff at the Iowa Girls High School Athletic Union. He is Taylor Anderson. Taylor, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Great. Thanks for being here.
Hey, you bet. Well, before we talk some football, I wanted to ask you a couple questions about your job with the Girls Union. Some of our listeners may not know what it is that you do for them, and I'll be honest, well, I don't know the specifics either. Can you describe what your responsibilities of the job are?
Absolutely. I've been at the Girls Union for about 4 years, and I started there working with partnerships, and then Teal Properties Group, which is kind of like the Learfield of high school sports. They're out of Winston-Salem. They came on board and handled all of our partnerships. And so I transitioned into a sport administrator and started developing the educational programming with the Girls Union. And just this last April, I actually transitioned back to partnerships. So technically now I'm the general manager of the IGHSAU, and I deal with all our partnerships with a variety of partners and always looking for new partners. And then I still continue to serve as the educational coordinator for the Iowa Girls High School Athletic Union. So I get to travel around the state and I work with from athletic teams to conferences. We did 100 students from the Raccoon River Conference here last week. I'm going to work with some teachers at Panorama here in a couple of weeks. And so it's great to get out there and talk about the value of school-based activities and encouraging kids to be a transformational athlete, not a transactional athlete. So fortunate to have a great opportunity.
And you must have some flexibility with your job in order to be able to coach?
Yes, it's been wonderful. I got out of education probably about 8 years ago out of a classroom anyway. And when I was director of the Iowa Hall of Pride, I stayed coaching at Centennial. And when I transitioned to Girls Union, I told Gene, I enjoy coaching and I'd like to stay involved with it and stay connected with kids. And Gene simply told me, Taylor, if it's a problem, I'll let you know. And that's, if you know Gene, that's very direct. And it's been great. It keeps you connected with kids, and especially when I'm still going out with educational programming across the state, I'm still working with high school kids on a daily basis.
Well, it took me a while this fall to get used to the idea of a girl tennis being played in the fall after covering it in the spring for the last 30-some years. And I don't know how involved you were with the implementation, of that change. But from the Girls Union perspective, was that a positive change?
Absolutely. When you look at the spring, we were so busy between soccer, track, golf, and tennis. And it just alleviated a lot of that pressure, mainly on facilities, trying to get facilities with both boys tennis and girls tennis. And so for us, moving girls tennis to the fall, take some of that pressure off in the spring. Now in the spring, we'll be able to focus in on golf and soccer and track and field, and it'll work out well. That first year was always rough. So those girls, they played last spring for a championship, and they turned around and played again this fall.
Well, let's talk football now. You guys are coming off a 33-15 win over Indianola on Friday that really strengthened your team's playoff hopes, allowing you to move up from 14th to 12th in the RPI rankings. Did you guys pretty much treat that game like a playoff game?
Absolutely. We knew coming into that this is our playoff game. Indianola is always tough. The last two times we played them, they've gotten us down at Indianola and at Ankeny. That's been, I think, 3 or 4 years ago now. So we knew they were going to be physical and they're going to execute well. And we had to come in there and start fast. And to be honest, we didn't really start fast as we'd like to have. But we got going there in that first half, and the second half, we finished out strong.
We had your defense pitch a shutout in the second half when you guys outscored Indianola by a 19-0 margin. I think you held the Indians to about 60 total yards in the final two quarters. So your defense really stepped up, didn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And we got a couple sacks. That was good. We needed to get in that stat book moving into that Indianola game. And, they're hurting us on the edge early on, made a few adjustments, and got our kids coming downhill and just playing with confidence coming down the stretch.
Well, I know it was a team effort, but I thought Brandon Bogseth was just all over the field that night. He led your team with 7.5 tackles, including 6 solo stops, 2.5 for losses. He also recorded 2 sacks. He really had an impact on the game, didn't he?
Absolutely. Bogseth was playing at the high motor last Friday, and he had a great game. He was all over the place. We played some of that 3-man front where he's putting some pressure coming from that linebacker spot. And really rely on him a lot here this year with some of the changes we've had with some injuries up front and asking to do some different things. And last week he stepped up and got it done.
Your defense has allowed just 13 points per game over the last 3 weeks. You guys rebounded from a loss to Ankeny with a shutout against Urbandale. And then even a loss to number 3 Valley, you guys gave up just 24 points to a really explosive offense before you had the big win against Indianola. So you have to feel really good about the way the defense has played.
Absolutely. We've had a lot of adversity this year. We had some injuries early on, especially the linebacker spot. Taggart had a shoulder injury that kind of set him down a little bit. The keeper Reed was playing really well in his first year linebacker, and he had the shoulder surgery, so he is out for the season. So we've had some adjustments there at linebacker. D-line, same thing. We've had some injuries here, and then we've got some guys that are playing a little bit offensive line and defensive line. So trying to really balance the two of those has been kind of a challenge, but also it's why you coach. So you get into it to try to build these kids up and give them an opportunity to succeed.
Let's talk about a couple of the other individuals on that unit. Linebacker Will Morris leads the defense with 41 tackles on the season. And I think he missed at least one game due to an injury as well. But would you say he's kind of been the leader of the defense?
Yes. Yeah. Willie's our thumper. Willie's in the middle there, and B gap to B gap inside. He's gonna run his feet. He's gonna finish up. It's great seeing Willie healthy. Last year he was playing really well coming into the season, and even first couple of weeks there. And then he had the knee, then he had pneumonia, then he had, just had a string of things last year. So it's good to see him back out. He had a little bit of a issue with that knee early on here, like week 2 or week 3, but he's back at it, and he's just a tough kid. Tough kid, plays downhill. Won't say a lot, but he's going to get it done.
And your other leading tacklers are defensive back Gavin Matheny and linebacker Nash Taggart. And their two other seniors, you know, have really stepped up this year. I know Nash missed last season due to an injury, so it's been really nice to have him back this year, hasn't it?
Absolutely. And Nash was started a little bit as a D lineman for us as a sophomore. And so last year he had surgery and missed the season. So he went from a D lineman to a linebacker this year. And those first couple of weeks, getting him to come downhill more consistent. And he's really been improving every game. Just, you know, we want him to get just take another step forward next week, take another step forward next week. And I thought last week was really his best whole game. He played the linebacker spot, coming downhill, running his feet, wrapping up, and just doing little things right.
Let's break down Friday's game now.
But Gavin Matheny, absolutely. You know, Gavin last year, this is first year coming to that starting role of safety, and he's really been the glue back there in that secondary. He makes the right checks, gets us in the right positions. So Gavin's done a great job stepping up this year. Sorry to interrupt
you. Oh, no worries. Let's talk about Dowling now. They come into the contest with a 6-1 record and a number 2 ranking, and they're riding a 6-game winning streak since opening the season with a 1-point loss to Valley. You know, they've just been really dominant, haven't they?
Absolutely. Dowling does what they do. They're coached very well. They got some great kids over there, and they execute. Inside zone, outside zone, you know what they're going to do. They're going to run the football at you. And so it really forces you to be disciplined on defense. It really forces us to make sure we get our fits right and running through those windows and just communicating across the board. But it'll be exciting. It's Dowling that game. You know, obviously we had a couple of tough ones against them last year, and so it's always fun to square off against the Maroons. But it'll be good. It'll be a good test for us tomorrow and really preparing us here for this postseason.
But yeah, the Maroons have always been able to run the ball, and they can certainly do that again this year behind Ian Middleton, who has rushed for 818 yards and 9 touchdowns. But Dowling has actually been even more productive through the air this year, as quarterback Joey Naos has passed for nearly 1,500 yards and 17 touchdowns. And they got a couple of great receivers in Sam Drexler and Jeffrey Roberts. So, I mean, you really have to be able to stop both of them, don't you?
Yep, absolutely. You know, trying to force them to be one-dimensional. You know, the big thing is winning that first down. If we can get them in 2nd and 7, that's going to obviously give us an advantage on the defensive side, but we can't give up 4, 5, 6 yards on a first down. So if we can win first down, get them behind the sticks a little bit, and get in a position now where we can get Middleton running east-west, clog it up inside, and get our edges covered, we should be good to go.
Well, I know with some teams you might be able to load up the box, you know, to stop the run. And with other teams, maybe you can double the receivers if they have a great receiver. But with this team, you probably can't, you know, focus on just one or the other. So, I mean, is it almost a case where you have to just line up and play them straight up and just try to outplay them?
You know, sometimes you can try to outcoach yourself and get a little too creative. But definitely just sitting in base and playing disciplined football. Knowing your keys, knowing your alignment on the front end of it and on the backside, you know, what's my responsibility? Am I looking at that RPO? Am I going to try to fill that gap? Or am I looking for a pursuit angle? And so keeping the kids, the alignment assignment technique, keep it simple this week, get lined up. We've got a few wrinkles to throw in there along the way, but it's really playing fundamental football against a fundamentally sound team.
Well, I know you don't coach your team's offense, but I just wanted to get your quick thoughts on the matchup, you know, on the other side of the ball. Your offense really has had a balanced attack. Last Friday, you guys rushed for over 200 yards, and you passed for 158 more, and your sophomore quarterback, Brecken Miller, threw 3 touchdown passes. But now you'll be facing a defensive unit that has allowed just 7.5 points a game during its winning streak. So what do you think will be the key for your offense to have some success against that team?
It's going to be, you know, being consistent, getting the ball moving. It's going to be tough to run against them, but I think we can find some ways. We've got a few wrinkles to get in there to get that ball going. But it's going to be 4 quarters. You know, it's not a game that we're going to win in the first quarter, but it's something that we just need to stay steady and keep pounding the rock, keep pounding the rock, keep pounding the rock. Brecken, you know, a sophomore, he's a great competitor. He was starting catcher by the end of the year here with baseball. He's going to compete, and he's getting better every week. And, you know, he has that ability to run. He's got the ability to throw. And so I think it's going to be a challenge, but we just need to make sure that we're not getting behind the sticks on first down also. Keep the ball moving forward, get some first downs, sustain some drives, and punch that ball in the end zone.
Well, yeah, I'm sure you feel like it'll be important for your offense, you know, to sustain those drives, even if they don't always result in punch, just to keep the chains and the clock moving.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, special teams will be crucial in this game. You know, having the ability to flip the field. Our punter's been doing a great job this year. I mean, he can flip a field pretty quickly. And so getting that special team squared around, sustaining some drives, you know, the time of possession is going to be a big, big impact on this game this week and be in a position in the fourth quarter for the win.
Well, when you look at the big picture, as far as the playoffs go, you guys are currently sitting in that number 12 spot, and you were in a similar position 2 years ago when you went on the road and you beat both Waukee Northwest and Bettendorf to get to the Dome. You know, now you guys will host a 1-6 Sioux City North team in your regular season finale on October 24th. And depending on how the last 2 games go, you know, you could move up a few spots, you could move down a couple, you could stay about the same. But, you know, when you look at the entire picture there, do you think it might almost be better to be in that 12-13 range than like in that 7-10 range?
Yeah, we can make that 12-13 range. You know, it's 2 years ago, as you referenced, you know, I think it was Waukee Northwest that got us about the same time of the year. And for us, that was really the turning point in the season. And then we embraced the road dog strategy and went to Waukee Northwest, went to Bettendorf, and got up to the Dome there. And so it's similar type of feel this year coming into it. You know, we've got to finish out this season right and then get in a position to make a run in the playoffs. And, you know, that 12-13, you know, right in there, I feel good about that matchup, that first round. And it's a whole new season. You get to the postseason, and you know as well as anyone, the CIML here, it gets exciting.
Well, yeah, these next few weeks should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. Good luck on Friday night, Coach.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Dan. Appreciate all you do.
You bet. All right. Well, my final guest tonight is the owner of Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. She has been a supporter of Ankeny Fanatics since day one. Revive is currently a co-sponsor of the podcast, and they've just renewed their contract with us for another year, and we are grateful for their continued support. She is Steph Katiga. Steph, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, I know you've been incredibly busy. It's been hard to track you down. I know you've been traveling a lot. You were just recently in Dubai. Well, what was that like?
Oh, that was an amazing experience. I was invited or selected to be one of Dr. Mauricio de Mayo's mentees a year ago, and he handpicked us out of 500 allergy trainers, and we've been training with him all year. We've recently become trainers of his, and we were able to go to Dubai and train 4 days with him. And it was absolutely amazing. So it was a great experience.
Did you get to see much of the city or the country while you were there?
Well, we could, from our hotel, we could see the Burj Khalifa right there. And so we did see that while we were there. We took a short trip, my husband and I, over to the Maldives.
Wow. I bet that was something else.
That was pretty cool.
And where else have you been traveling to lately?
Every single state, I swear. I've been going everywhere. And every day I keep getting requests to go to other states and to do training. So very, very busy.
Well, I guess that's a good problem to have.
That's a good problem to have. Absolutely.
Well, every time I stop by Revive, it's always a busy place. There seems to be a lot going on. Do you have any new products or services that you'd like to tell our listeners about?
Well, I think one of our newest things is we do have Ellie Hamer. She is a PA, and she's been doing dermatology now for 7 years. She's amazing at what she does. She is so thoughtful, so kind, and does such a thorough job. We absolutely love having her. So I've personally kind of stepped away from dermatology and I'm focusing more in on doing a lot more of our injectables. But we've also added a lot of packages because we know what it takes like to have a patient go from point A to point B. And sometimes doing like the a la carte things that come in for this laser once a year or this injection once a year just doesn't work. So we've come up with some more packages to make it more affordable and actually get people the outcomes that they want.
What product or service would you say is like the bulk of your business? I mean, what do you spend most of your day doing?
Well, personally, I spend most of my day when I'm doing injectables, so neurotoxins and cosmetic fillers. Yeah, and I also do a lot of some of the lasers. And so we have this amazing laser that there's quite a bit of downtime with it, but it is similar to a CO2 laser, but yet different. It can really eradicate all the fine lines and wrinkles, especially around the mouth. So that was pretty intense and pretty fun to do.
Well, I know you helped out my wife, Jennifer, when she had a question about her dermatology issues a while back. And yeah. I don't know if this was something else you could help my son Jaden out with or not, but he had applied for a job and he had a piercing in his lip that they were concerned that it might be like a safety hazard. So he had to have the piercing taken out. And his lip, well, because he was going to be lifting some trees and things, okay, and carrying some things. But his mouth, his lip had grown over the piercing. So it got a little complicated. But have you ever had to remove like a piercing like that?
Yeah. Has that a hypertrophic scar around it. So that happens a lot in people that get earrings as well. Sometimes they get a huge keloid scar there that has to be removed. So I've seen that happen.
One way he was able to get it, well, that I sent him to my dermatologist who does a great job as well, and she was able to take care of him. So that was
good. Yeah. But,
anyway, yeah, I just wanted to ask about that. But, well, I gave your phone number earlier in the podcast, but you can give it again. What's the best way for people to get a hold of you if they have questions about your products or services?
Yeah, absolutely. 515-965-5677. And people are able to book online as well.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for coming in today. And thanks again for all your support.
Absolutely. We will always support Ankeny Sports and Dan Hall.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. When it comes to real estate, experience matters. At Legacy Realty, we pride ourselves on having one of the largest and most experienced teams in Ankeny, with over 75 agents strong. As one of the top brokerages in the metro, our local agents bring unparalleled knowledge of the market to help you make the best decisions for your home sale or purchase. Whether you're buying your first home, upgrading, or looking to sell, our team is ready to provide expert guidance every step of the way. Backed by the national strength of LPT Realty, we offer cutting-edge tools and marketing strategies to ensure your success. Legacy Realty Divided, your trusted partner for buying or selling in Central Iowa. Well, I want to thank my guests again for coming in tonight. We have assistant football coaches Rob Luther of Ankeny, Mike Fontana of Dowling Catholic, and we finished up with Taylor Anderson of Ankeny Centennial. And we also had a visit from the owner of Revive Dermatology, Steph Katika. I appreciate the time from all those folks. And come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.